My name is Rick Cruz. I'm a believer who struggles with passive aggressiveness, trust, selfishness, and not believing what God says about me. I've been coming to Watermark since 2007, and like some of you, I found it through divorce care. I was married for almost 10 years. I have 4 beautiful children from that marriage, a daughter that's 13, my son is 12, another daughter that's 10, and my youngest daughter, which is 9. I know, I took a break in there. I know, it's crazy. I was raised in Northern Virginia, and I've lived there most of my life, and I moved to Dallas in 2005. I grew up in a low-income, dysfunctional family. There were times when our utilities were cut off, we were handed eviction notices, and times that we actually went without food. My mom was a devout churchgoer, but she was also dominant, controlling, emotionally unavailable, hypocritical, and judgmental, to put it nicely. She instilled in us that people who don't like church are sinners and they go to hell. She did her best to love us and manage 5 kids, but I often felt like she didn't care. My dad was a hard worker, but he was a really fake, nice guy, but basically he was a womanizer. We attended a semi-charismatic church growing up where my mother sang in the choir and still does in the same church today. My parents seemed to fight every night, the kind of fighting that included screaming, yelling profanities, and throwing objects through the wall. I learned to cope in that environment by pretending it wasn't happening, zoning out into TV shows, music, staying out with friends. When all else fails, I just went to sleep. I grew up believing that Christianity sounded good on paper, but it just didn't work in real life. In real life, you just pretend you're a Christian, you go to church, you know, pretend like you have it all together, and then when you come home, all bets are off. At age 17, I would learn news that would send me into a personal downward spiral. The sheriff visited our house, and we found out that our dad was sexually abusing our sister, and it had gone on for several years. This was devastating in itself, but as events unfolded over the next year, chaos would ensue. He was removed from the home. My mom would begin to beat my 15-year-old sister and blame her for taking her husband. Financial pressures mounted, and child protective services were the norm. With a broken home and a lot of hurt and no understanding of how to deal with it, at 18, I quickly moved out and looked for ways to escape the dysfunction. I found a concoction of things to help me achieve this, from overworking to immersing myself in computer games to indulging in pornography and then topping off with becoming promiscuous. The whole time, I felt empty and numb on the inside. The more women I had in my life, the lonelier I felt. I also felt guilty because I knew it felt wrong, but I just couldn't stop. Whatever helped me feel the least is what I wanted the most. This continued on for the next 4 years, right up until I met my wife. That was quite the catch. I met her at a large church in Virginia at the age of 21. She was pregnant when I met her, but at the time I didn't know. I wouldn't find out almost till a month later. My wife was a wonderful person. She had a strong personality, very dominant. She knew what she wanted, and due to things that had happened in her past, she was very controlling and disassociative. She was a planner, so much so that she had our wedding planned out. She bought the dress and rented the location before I even proposed. I ended up proposing to her 1 month before the wedding so she could get the invites out. Hindsight makes me think I may have been a little too passive. But honestly, I liked her family. They were financially well off, and they accepted me. I also enjoyed the attention I received for taking on her child. I really didn't understand what I was getting into, but I found significance in that. And it just seemed like a lot better than where I was coming from. After we were married, it didn't take long for my vices to strike me again. A few fights over money or sex or overwhelming financial odds, a new child, and I just began to spend all my free time starting small businesses, playing computer games, and disassociate from the marriage. The more stress I was under, or distance I felt from my wife, the more I would pursue these numbing agents. Add 2 more kids to the mix, and by 2004, my wife and I were almost like parent teammates who isolated their emotions from each other. We grew very emotionally distant. We both were engaged in inappropriate relationships online, but I would eventually go on to have a physical one-night stand. By a series of God-ordained events, and you can ask me after, I'm really open about this. It was God-ordained. My wife found out about it, and this is where I thought the end of our marriage would be and should be at that point. Well, for the first time in my life, I was shown grace. My wife said that she wanted to work through things. I had known what grace was, but never really thought I did anything bad enough to really need it. My wife's display of grace was my first glimpse of what God's grace looked like. I thought, could this be what grace is? When I deserved punishment, I received love and mercy instead. I was taken back and motivated to become the best husband and father I could be. I dive into recovery. I went to a 7-day workshop called Every Man's Battle. I joined SA, AA, NA, anything with an A after it. I just found wisdom and healing and a sense of acceptance in all of those groups. And I began to learn a lot about myself and the dysfunctional ways that I dealt with pain and hurt in my life. Eventually, I joined Celebrate Recovery, a recovery program in Virginia, and shortly after, we moved to Dallas in 2005. Our marriage became better than it ever had been. I began to actually feel again. I served at a local church in Plano and ran a program called Life Hurts, God Heals for teens. We began serving in CR as leaders together and leading our own groups. We gave our testimony on how God healed our marriage, and life was completely different at this time in my life. It was amazing, the transformation that had happened. In 2007, my wife would leave the church and begin hanging out with some of her friends, and a short time later, she confessed to having a long-distance relationship. I was devastated. You know, I thought everything had changed, but, you know, due to our past, I felt like we could work through it. You know, we'd been through a lot already. We began going to counseling, and I began to get curious and discovered bank records and phone records and just discovered there was a lot more underneath the surface. I confronted her in counseling, and she just wasn't willing to work on it, and we soon separated, and she quickly filed for divorce. If you guys haven't been through divorce yet, when I first came here, I hadn't been. Divorce is messy, expensive, humiliating. It rips families and friends apart, even coworkers, and even your kids. And for us, it was in front of a trial. We had a trial with like 30 law students there. So you're pouring out all of your, it's like dirty laundry out in front of all these people. It's really embarrassing. I was genuinely trying to follow God and His will during this time. As a matter of fact, I asked God to teach me how to love my wife in this time. Well, if you ask God, He will answer. In Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And He did. I prayed that prayer, and honestly, I felt a conviction in my spirit. And it said, love your wife while she walks away. And at that moment, I was like, what? I was like, why? What's in it for me? And at that moment, I felt a huge retaliation from my spirit. And it was like, exactly, your love is selfish. My love is perfect. It doesn't ask for anything in return. If you want to learn to love, love your wife as she walks away. Guys, this is like a sledgehammer to my soul. I had no idea that that's what love was up until that point in my life. I didn't even know how to do that. And it meant loving the one person who could hurt me the most while she was leaving. Matthew 5 says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And over the next few months, I desperately tried to reconcile through letters, apologies, counseling, and friend interventions, but she wasn't receptive to reconciliation. We divorced in June of 08, and she was remarried in February of 09. Life happened to me in that time. Losing my job, my car broke down, and her subsequent marriage. It was just an overwhelming sense of failure and loneliness that would overtake me. And at that time, I just decided to walk away from church and God. I really blamed God. You know, I was like, God, I did everything that you wanted me to, and all this still happened. So, no thanks. So, I tried to find my self-worth in work, going out, and dating relationships. It seemed like the only thing that made me feel cared for. In 2010, I got to a point that no relationship helped with my dissatisfaction for life. You can't know God and then walk away and think that there's something better out there. It sucks because, you know, it didn't. You know, I tried everything I thought was going to make me happy, and it doesn't. It doesn't lead you down a dark and lonely road. In 2010, I got to the point that nothing satisfied me. I knew God was the only answer. So I decided to join a community group and start divorce care again. Over the next couple of years, God began a new work in me. I still struggled with loneliness and significance at times, but in 2011, something happened. I was with a couple of my small group friends, and I began to share how lonely and disappointed my life was. And they began to speak truth into me. They challenged me to fully surrender all my insecurities, my thoughts, and my feelings in prayer to God diligently for 30 days. And I agreed. I was just at such a low point. I was like, okay, whatever. I'll do whatever you want, you know. And so I just did it. And guys, that's when a new freedom hit my life. It was amazing. It was like a light switch went on when the first day I fully just surrendered everything instead of holding on. Since then, I no longer struggle with depression. I can be alone and not lonely. That's huge because that's never been that way. God's blessed me with friends and family that continue to love and support me. And I've also experienced three great joys from the wreckage of my past. I was able to make amends with my father and my mother, owning my part in bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness that I had towards them. And last summer, I was able to make the same amends with my ex-wife and her new husband, owning my passive-aggressive behavior and the offenses I had committed against them over the past 4 years. Since then, we no longer threaten legal actions, you know, against each other. And my anger that had always burned inside was removed towards them. So, as a result, my kids' attitude have dramatically improved as well. That was just a byproduct of it. So, my third joy is really serving here with you guys, just alongside of you guys and my group leaders and my group that's here. I really enjoy being with you guys. And just want to share some last thoughts of some lessons I've learned. I've learned that loneliness is temporary, but a relationship with God who never leaves me or forsakes me is permanent. Forgiveness is the key to healing. I've learned that giving my life and will over to God is a daily and sometimes moment-by-moment decision that I must make. I've learned to take life and circumstances one day at a time. And I've learned that when I want to come here the least is oftentimes when I need it the most. So thank you guys for allowing me to share my journey with you. Just really encourage you guys to come back. Thanks.